Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch on this here show, and we are a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And I was listening to the podcast of last night's show, and I've noticed this now on several of the podcasts, that I sound like I'm doing a morning show or something.
What do you mean?
What I mean is I'm just, hey, everybody, blah, 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 just motor-mouthing it. So what I would suggest to anybody out there that is listening to this program that is in a position of power, authority, is in a position of that anybody that's got any real pull, I think what you should do is take our show and use it as a morning show, as long as I don't have to get up early.
That's nuts. You got to get up early.
I don't care. They can figure it out any way they want. I ain't getting up early. I'm just saying, you know.
Well, what is that? You're joking, right?
Yeah, you don't want to get up early?
No, I do not want to get up early. I wouldn't get up early. To physically do a morning show, I swear to God, I'd rather go through the Spanish Inquisition than
what is that?
The Spanish Inquisition, you know what that is?
They tortured people, Bud. Is that enough?
What did they torture them about?
They tortured people. This is when the Catholics tortured people. When I say people, they were torturing Jews is what they were doing. You know.
Well, I mean, they're torturing heretics.
It wasn't just Jews.
They were basically torturing anybody that wasn't Catholic. I'd rather go through that, Bud, that I've just described to you, than get up at 4 a.m. or 3:30 to do a morning show. However, having said all that, if you listen to the podcast of our show, I would seriously, strenuously suggest that you use this show as a morning show. Now, if you want to lay large bags of money on me, then of course I'll get up early. You know.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, yes, necessarily. If there is such a thing as big money in radio, then hell yeah, I'll take it. But doing morning shows, I did one, two, three. I can't remember how many I've and I shouldn't even say morning shows. It was just I had to get up early, go in and talk on a microphone. I don't know how good the shows were.
Well, you did do a show on K-West just before it became, not K-West. Well, yes, on K-West.
Yeah, way back in the day, I did a morning show on K-West, and it was a music show.
Yes, that's what I mean.
It was a music, and then on KLSX, which is now a, what are they doing over there now?
No, KLSX, they don't call it KLSX anymore. They call it, they call it, like, hit radio.
No, they don't. They call it something else.
Yeah, it's got some name, right?
Yeah, no, it's Bud's sort of right. I mean, they call it something like, big time, big hit.
Yeah, the big hits.
Will you quit guessing? You guys don't know, do you?
Not really.
Okay, well then don't guess. Big hits. It's got a new name, but it used to be like it was a classic rock station, then it was a talk station, and now it's back to playing music. When we were on it, we did a morning show there, and it sucked. I mean, everything I ever did in terms of morning drive just blew. Oh, it blew. As I said today on Facebook, and people got a kick out of it, it blew a new rare antelope.
Very good.
Yay!
Thank you. All right, so welcome to our program, and you can get the podcast of this show by going to philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And you can also watch our show, live streaming video of our show right now. And to my very good, deep, close, personal friends who have iPhone and iPad, and I just said that like a caveman, didn't I?
Yeah, you go, I got an iPhone.
Yeah, like, if you have, you got iPhone, you got iPad? No, if you have an iPhone or an iPad, we are available, our media is available on demand right now in terms of the live streaming very, very soon. Don't get mad at me, because we're making this transition so that it works, not just to be fast. You know, if you do things, haste makes waste, you know. Huh? What are you looking at?
What does that mean?
I don't understand that.
You've never heard of haste makes waste. It means if you go fast, what does that mean?
Haste makes waste. That's dirty.
No, it's not dirty. No, it's not. If you go fast, what do you mean dirty?
You talk about going a bowel movement.
What is wrong with you, man? Haste makes waste means if you go too fast, you just butcher the job up. Better that you go slowly, carefully, and do it right than to get it done quickly and not have it done right. You understand?
Yeah, but that's not what waste makes haste is.
It's not waste
Never mind. I think we've got it. We've got it covered. So, yeah, go to philhenryshow.com and get yourself a backstage pass and allow yourself luxuriate, if you will, in thousands and thousands of hours of media. We're not just talking about some website where you go and you get... Here's today's two-minute clip from this morning's show when Boogie talked to Eddie and they got into a fist fight. This is like 5 hours, or for 3 hours, if we ever did a five-hour show, 3 hours of solid verbal fist fight each and every time you log on. Flu season has Boston declaring a health emergency. Massachusetts has reported 18 people have succumbed, if you will, to the flu bug. You know, here we go again, man. And I don't think I ever paid attention to this stuff until I wound up flat on my back in the hospital with pneumonia, having had it brought on by swine flu. But it ain't fun, man. There ain't nothing funny about it at all.
Well, I'll tell you, people, old people are going to die, that's for sure.
Yeah, old people die from it as well as babies.
Well, anyone who's in a weakened state, and that's why you should get a flu shot. Did you get one?
I got my flu shot. Nobody else here got one.
Well, I don't need one. I'm in very good health.
Yeah, I don't either. You got to get one because of your elderly.
What do you mean I got to get one because I'm elderly?
Well, you got to get one because you're elderly?
What do you mean elderly, man? Okay, so I'm the big six. All right, I'm the big six. So sue me. So hang me from the highest yardarm. Does that make me, quote, elderly? You know, that word makes it sound like I'm limping around a golf course someplace.
Well,
I ain't even on a golf course anymore because my back's bad. No, let me tell you something, man. Even at my age right now, I could kick your ass around the block for drill. You know that, don't you?
Well,
you want to try it?
No.
Do you doubt it?
I'd rather not comment on it.
Come on, man. Don't make him say something. Just make you, he doesn't want to make you feel good.
No. Wait just a minute.
Oh, Phil, quit with your macho game.
No. Wait a minute. Are you telling me that you can take me?
I didn't say that, but I wouldn't. I mean, it depends.
It depends on what?
If you're awake.
I'm going to beat...
Kidding.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking arm wrestling. He kicked my ass arm wrestling. Big deal. That doesn't mean anything. What are you looking at him? What are you two guys up to anyway?
Nothing.
I'm going to tell them.
No, please don't.
No, I have to tell you. They've got a bucket of Gatorade out here.
What were you going to do with that?
They were going to douse you with the Gatorade as a way of saying happy birthday, which... I told them it's not your birthday.
You're going to douse me with a bucket of Gatorade?
Yeah.
Because?
Yeah, to wish you happy birthday.
It's not my birthday.
I know that, but we ought to have the Gatorade.
Yeah, we made a mistake with that. We might as well do it.
What is up with you guys, anyway?
Nothing. We just had the Gatorade.
I think they were watching some football, and they thought it would be funny. And they said, let's douse. And I told them, I said, you can't do that unless there's something to celebrate, you know.
Well, even still, they can't do it. I got electrical equipment around. I got radio equipment, Margaret.
I know that. I told them that.
We weren't going to get it on that.
Are you guys trying to tell me because you watched some coach get a Gatorade dumped on him, you thought that would be funny to do to me?
Yeah.
You know why they dump Gatorade on coaches?
Because it's funny.
Because it's funny?
No, it's not because it's funny. It's because they won the game.
Well, yeah, you'll know. Yeah, we knew that. But mostly because it's funny.
So you guys were going to dump Gatorade on me as a way of saying happy birthday, even though my birthday was in September.
Well, we didn't think it mattered that much. I mean,
plus, Margaret, you said you wouldn't say anything.
I'm not going to let you dump Gatorade all over this equipment.
Thank you. Guys, I'm telling you. Quit acting like we're in some treehouse here, okay? Quit acting like what we're doing here is just like, you know, Wayne's World here, you know? You guys come up with some goofy ideas. You think this whole thing, man, is just some stupid cable access show that we're doing for our moms, okay?
I don't see how you can draw that conclusion.
Dumping Gatorade on me because you saw somebody do it on TV and you thought that that was funny? You wanting to draw eyes on a hand puppets in paper bags because that guy, that nut in Aurora, did it?
You didn't draw eyes on it, though.
All right, so he didn't... That's what I'm talking about. Just wise up, will you? When we come back, we'll talk more about the flu season, flu shots, and why it is I don't get the flu anymore, and why the three people that I'm looking at right now are hellbound.
That is not fair.
I'm hellbound. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
And you didn't find it. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. I'm sorry, we probably over-modulated there for just a second because we had our very close personal and we adore her. Friend Elaine was here, who is our engineer. And
yes, I just said hello to her, by the way, before. Well, not just now, but I saw her this afternoon.
Yeah, Elaine was here. She was doing some adjustments in our studio. And one of the things she did do for us, which we're very grateful that you did, Elaine, was you adjusted the mic stand here, but she also moved the master volume down, and so my good friend, Mr. Northcraft, all of these people are very good friends of mine, but they're a pain in the ass.
All right.
Thank you. I'm kidding. So I had to pot the volume up. Let's get Dr. Ron Tarner on the line here with us, Dr. Ron Tarner from the Mountain Meadow Observatory, but we're not going to talk about astronomy or anything, Ron. We're going to talk with you here about the flu season, and good to have you on the program. How are you?
Well, we're doing very well, and I certainly hope you had a good New Year.
Yeah, I did have a good New Year. Had a great time and had a good Christmas as well. And how's your family?
Everyone is healthy. We're talking about the flu epidemic, knock wood. Everyone is doing very, very well, Phil. There's no question. I wanted to ask you a question, though, my friend. Before we talk about the flu season, you had recommended a film, and I have been looking for this film since you and I spoke about it last summer, and it was the Humanoid movie.
Creation of the Humanoids.
Yes, exactly, and I've been looking and looking and looking.
Have you checked with Netflix?
All right, and what is Netflix?
Well, Netflix is something everybody uses now. It's a rental service, an online rental service, I believe. I don't know how it works, man, because I haven't used it in a long time, and if ever, and I'm kind of old-fashioned the way I get stuff. So, in any event,
I use that pay-per-view. The pay-per-view?
Yeah, I do pay-per-view and all of that crap. But anyway, Creation of the Humanoids. I bet you money. It's at Amazon.com. It's at one of these places. You know.
Well, I want to find it because you said that it was a very funny movie, but there was a line from it that you told me about that resonated very deeply with me, and I wanted to talk to my brother. I wanted to get my brother to hear about it and get his spirits up, because my brother is at the Mets Colony at Chino, as I know I've told you, right?
Yes.
And he's feeling very low, because he lost an appeal.
I understand. And I should tell people that Dr. Tarner's brother is was remanded. It was sentenced to a term. I don't know what it, what was it?
Well, they gave him 15 years. He was eligible for parole this year for the, well, he had a parole hearing for the second time this year.
Okay. Manslaughter. He killed someone.
Well, it wasn't just someone. It was someone that had disrespected a member of our family, my sister. And my brother, who is a hot-headed guy, decided that he would, quote, teach the guy a lesson, and it went a little too far.
Well, that's a terrible thing to have to deal with in a family, and all the best to him. What was it about Creation of the Humanoids, though?
Well, there is a line in that movie that you mentioned to me that I wrote it down, and I wanted to send it on a note card to my brother Griff, but I can't remember the line, and I wanted to get the movie. And maybe you remember what it was.
I couldn't tell you. A line from Creation of the Humanoids.
Yeah, it has to do with someone's sister.
Well, there's the line where the guy says, he says, if you say my sister's in rapport with a clicker, you bet I'll kill you.
That's the one. That's the one. That I wanted to find that line. Now, give me the context of that again. So when I talk to Griff, I could give him the context. I wanted to write it down. I was going to send him just a little note to buck him up. Like I said, they lost the parole hearing.
Now, how many parole hearings has he had?
Two. He's had two. He's got a minimum sentence of 15 years.
Minimum of 15 years. The context of...
Why is that important?
No, I was just curious. I don't know how it works.
I can tell you, Phil, my family didn't know how it worked either. I mean, we're learning as we go. It's a very devastating thing.
Well, I can imagine that.
You know, it's devastating for the family of the perpetrator, not just the victim. We hear an awful lot about the victims, and yes, I well understand this. But no one ever wants to talk about the family of the perpetrator, especially when he, we feel, was trying to protect the honor of his sister. And yes, it went too far.
Look, I don't think it's wise, and I'll be telling you right now, Ron, I don't want to go through the specifics of what happened, okay?
I understand.
Because there's two sides, and you're giving me a side that is legitimate and valid, and I want to hear it, but for me to hear that, I want to hear the other side.
I certainly understand, Phil, although I've seen many, many, many TV shows. You just passed the exit. You know what? I'm with Tanya tonight, Phil, and I'm showing her you just passed the exit. I wanted to show her the office tonight, and we're heading out of town, and she missed the Cloverdale. All right, no problem. I think it's important for people to know that there is another side to the story, and that's the side of the individual that committed the act.
Well, your brother beat some guy up and he died.
Yes, sir.
All right. And he beat some guy up after this guy had made some crash comment about your sister.
Yes, sir.
All right. And this physical assault went too far and the guy died.
Well, he died as the result of his head striking a cement-edged table or something. I forget what. It's not important. The fact is my brother was defending his sister's honor. But I heard, this is why I'm saying what I'm saying.
All right, let me give you the context. It was in the film Creation of the Humanoids. This doctor in this film, this mad scientist, has created robots that look exactly like human beings, right down to even a freckle. They're exact duplicates of humans that exist. In this scene, the robot that he has just finished creating is an exact duplicate of a human that had deep, deep prejudices against robots. This film, Creation of the Humanoids, if you want to compare it or give an analogy, or not an analogy, but if you want to talk about what its theme line basically is about prejudice. It's almost like it's the robots of the future are like black people were at one time.
I understand, yes.
Okay. So this, and they call them clickers. They don't call the robots robots or humanoids. They call them clickers. So they have this slang that is also almost sort of reminiscent of the N-word. So the robot that is on this table that the doctor has just created, that robot is an exact duplicate on down to the very personality of this very prejudiced anti-robot human who is a member of this society called the Society of Flesh and Blood.
That was like a futuristic Ku Klux Klan, you're saying?
Yes, exactly. Like a futuristic Ku Klux Klan, only they're against robots, not black people. So, when this robot that he's just created becomes conscious, is activated, if you will, this doctor realizes that the gig is up because the authorities are outside and they're about to arrest him, and he doesn't want to be arrested. So he looks at this robot, who is the exact replica of this prejudiced human, and he says, you kill me. Kill me. And the robot, even though it's a robot, he still thinks he's human. This is the kind of weird thing about this movie, folks. This order of flesh and blood human, this highly prejudiced guy, who is actually a robot, looks at the doctor and he says, you say my sister's in rapport with a clicker, you bet I'll kill you.
Okay, that's it. And what is rapport?
Rapport is living with a robot. It was a legal state. You could be in rapport with a humanoid, a female, which means she could marry or live with.
And have sex with.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, come on, Phil, we're not kids here.
All right, yes, have sex with it. We'll be right back with Dr. Ron Turner in a moment, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
So, no kidding. So, in other words, this guy's sister was battling a clicker.
Would you watch it, please?
Sorry.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
I'm sorry, but...
I just want this information. It's for my brother. I'm sure you understand.
Yes, doctor, I do. I just wanted to talk to you about the flu season.
No, I know that, but I've got a brother who is incarcerated. Griff has always enjoyed your program, Phil. And we talk about your show all the time, and he loves you, and I thought I would, you know, get this information.
All right, that's fine. What else do you need?
Well, I have a little... You said that the film, The Robot Says, if you say my sister's in rapport with a clicker, you bet I'll kill you.
Yes, that's what the guy says. And
all right, what is rapport?
Rapport, in this fictional world of creation of the humanoids, rapport is some legal status that a human can have with a clicker. Now, or with a humanoid. Now, I have to tell you, in the movie, I don't think I ever saw a female humanoid. They were all male. They're all bald with those dark eyes, and they look very much like humanoids. They don't look human. They look human-like.
I understand.
All right. So rapport is when a human... And apparently it's necessary because the human race in the nuclear war that necessitated the creation of these humanoids wiped out 96% of the human race. So there's very few humans left, and in fact, the humanoids now outnumber humans. The humanoids are programmed never to hurt humans. They are programmed only to help humans. And by only helping humans, what happens is they propagate, they create, the humanoids themselves find ways to recreate themselves and make themselves better. Because in their way of seeing things...
You're talking about a computer here, though, right?
You're talking about a computer, yeah, they're robots.
What do you mean in their way of seeing things? That's laughable. I would take if a
But these are highly intelligent humanoids.
No, I understand that. But any robot that thought he knew better what was good for me, I'd take a fire axe to that thing.
I understand that, you know.
No, but I'm not joking.
I know you're not joking, but this is a movie, and there is a certain logic to it. If the robot is programmed not to hurt humans but only to help humans, and the only way they see of helping us is by making robots that look like us, because that's where the movie goes. It goes to this place where they're making now robots that look exactly like humans, and they're duplicating humans. This robot that was made that says, if you say my sister's in rapport with a clicker, you bet I'll kill you, was made because that guy had died. That guy had died in some bar fight.
Who had?
The human that the robot is based on.
Yeah, but the robot still is a vulgar prejudice. Now it's a robot with prejudice.
It is. Because what they do is they create robots to duplicate humans that have just died. However, they don't change their thinking at all. They leave intact the mind. They leave intact the memory. They leave intact the thinking. They leave intact the personal beliefs. And the way they then approach that is they let that human know in a very slow and delicate way, you are no longer what you think you are. You're actually a robot.
What are you talking about?
I'm not talking to you, bud, okay?
We get all mad for?
Because it's hard enough trying to explain this to Dr. Turner, and then I got the audience that's probably scratching its head, and there's Robert sitting there scratching his...
I was going to say, would you not do that, please?
All I'm doing is... He's
scratching his balls, so what?
If you...
Sorry.
Robert, don't do that, okay?
They itch.
They may itch. You can get up and do that somewhere else.
Ms. Gray, I didn't want to have to say this, but I saw you do... You scratched down there, too.
You know something? If it wasn't for the fact that I donate to the United Negro College Fund...
What's that supposed to mean?
Just easy. Easy, everybody.
What's going on in there, anyway?
Don't worry about it, Doc. So here's the thing. What haven't I told you? Do you understand?
I did understand it until you started going. You talk too much, Phil. That's one of your problems, you know.
And is that one of my problems? You know, I'm on a talk show.
No, I understand that, but you went on and on and on, and then you finally got into this thing about the robot replaced the guy, and they taught it. I don't understand. I'm just going to go back to what I said originally, Phil, and that is any robot that believes. In his wildest dreams that he's, you know...
No robot going to tell you what to do.
That's exactly my point, bud. No robot is going to tell me what to do.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say is that this is... You may be right. No robot would tell you what to do, Doc. Robot is going to tell me what to do.
You said rub out. And I'll tell you, I know you made a mistake, but that's very key.
It is. It's interesting, isn't it, the way rub out and robot are almost the same?
Yes.
Uh-huh. You want to let me in on the...
Well, the fact that if we create robots, we are creating a means to rub out ourselves.
Oh. That's true, Miss Gray.
Yeah.
You got it, Phil?
Sure. Sure, that's...
Phil, don't be a child just because you're not in on it with the rest of us.
No, I'm not being a child. I just... Yeah, that's fine.
Well, yes, you are. You're all, you're all together, and I'm...
No, I'm not thinking that. I'm thinking how really weird a connection that is. Robot and rub-out.
There is a sort of synchronicity. There's a synergy to it, Phil, and a logic and synchronicity.
Yeah, there's synchronicity in everything.
What is that word again?
Phil, don't... Just move on with the story, please.
No. What's the word again?
What?
What's the word that you just thought you were saying?
What?
That's what he said, yes.
No, the one be... All right, so...
Phil, you can't argue with it. You just have to let it be. Bud is like a pimple. Don't do anything. Just let it go away.
Exactly.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, now... So anyway, the robot says, if you say my sister's a rapport with a clicker, you bet I'll kill you. And he gets up and he strangles the doctor. Now, what has this got to do with your brother, Griff, who I know is incarcerated for manslaughter?
Well, the fact is, Phil, that he was in a fight defending the honor of my sister. It was in I hate to admit it, it was in a bar, and my sister was playing pool. And my sister happens to be an outstanding pool player. Now, she's never played professionally. She's not a competitive pool player, but she plays bar pool very, very well. And she winds up taking a lot of money. And one of the things about Gloria is that she is constantly suspected of being some kind of a pool sharp or a rigger or something like that.
And so, in other words, these guys think that she's some pro or semi-pro.
Exactly, yes. So this guy says to her, and this is, Griff told me this, Phil, I wasn't there. He said to her, I took one look at you and figured you were from Vegas. And Gloria thought that was a compliment. Well, thank you. He said, I'm not talking about playing pool either. And that's when Griff got up from the bar. He was sitting at the bar and he was chatting up a young lady. He was very friendly up to that point. And then
he engaged this guy physically?
No, at first he said, what do you mean by that comment? And the guy said, I think you know. And he leaned down to pick up some chalk or something, to chalk the end of his cue stick, and looked over at my brother, and he kept on chalking the cue stick and kept on chalking the cue stick. And that's when my brother said, you know, that stuff's not Vaseline. That's chalk. You're aware of that, right? And the guy said, oh, you're right. I do need some Vaseline, considering where I'm going to stick this. And that's when Griff said, as long as you can touch your own toes, it's none of my business. And that's when the guy took a swing.
How is it you know all the...
Man, that was beautiful.
How do you know this entire dialogue?
I'm disgusted.
I apologize. How do I know it? Because it was all entered into evidence.
when they had the trial, huh?
Yeah. How do I know it? I've read the court record a million times. Over and over and over. And I don't see anything in there that says my brother started any fight.
Well, I'm hearing your version of it.
Oh, that's how you're going to play it. So
no, I'm not playing it anyway. No, Dr. Tarner.
No, so in other words, I'm lying.
No, I'm not saying you're lying. I'm just saying you remember it a certain way. Is there anything wrong with hearing from someone else? I don't know who, and I don't want to talk about it tonight. Who remember? You're saying that your brother got up. What, Margaret?
Why are you wasting time on this? You were going to talk about the flu season.
You know, she's right.
All right, well, okay. You know, I don't want to go through it either, but the line is, say my sister before the clergy, then I'll kill you.
Yes.
Well, I was going to put it on a postcard and send it to my brother to cheer him up.
Okay, I mean, that's great.
I'm watching Phil TV, and I just saw you shrug.
I don't know. How does that make him feel better?
Because there's another guy out there that's like him, that's willing to go to the mat for his sister, even if he is a robot. And I guess that's kind of funny, but...
Okay, Dr. Ron Tarner with us, and I see we've got a minute to go before the break. We'll spend the next segment talking about the cold and flu season and talking about flu shots and talking about all of that.
Phil, you know, you look, and I'm sorry, folks, I want to just mention this. I think the audience will find this interesting. You look very frustrated, you know?
Well, I am.
But you're the one that took the last half hour talking about clickers, talking about robots...
You were, Phil. I mean, you're talking all about, you know, my sister over and over and over again. And I know you're a friend, and I know you're a good guy, and I take it personal.
Yeah, because you're all talking about his sister.
Wait a minute. Wait just a minute.
No, I said I didn't take it personal.
No, wait just a minute. I wasn't talking about your sister. You were the one that brought up the fact that your brother got into a fight with a guy in a pool hall over your sister's honor... Wound up killing the guy, now he's in prison, and you want to send him a postcard, a funny card that says, you say my sister's in rapport with a clicker, you bet I'll kill you.
Yeah.
And I'm the guy that brought your sister up.
Well, if you put it that way...
Yeah, as long as you're putting it that way... And...
Oh, okay. Well, is there another way I could put it?
Yeah, you could put it the way that you brought it up.
That's a good point.
Nobody here has got a good point.
Well, I think I've had a good...
No, nobody's had a good point except for me. And here's the good point I'm about to make. We're taking a break. Hey, we're going to take a break and be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner. We'll talk about flu, cold, everybody I know and their sister is getting this flu, Jack. How can we, you know, what are we, you know, what are we, how do we, you know, what do we do? I ain't getting sick. I'm fine. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I just heard you bring my sister up again.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhendryshow.com. With me is Dr. Ron Tarner, who is, by his training, an astronomer. You are a scientist of a different sort here, Dr. Tarner, but you do have a little bit of a medical background. And were you not in family practice early on?
Very, very early, Phil. I took my medical degree in internal medicine and practiced for about four years in southern Colorado, and then by satellite and minor at university. And when I went back to school in a postgraduate doctorate level was to study physical science, the astrophysics, as well as astronomy. And so,
but all right, so let's talk about the flu season. Now, you know, I had pneumonia, and I got the advice when I was in the hospital from my doctor. He said, Phil, you can't not get a flu shot.
You had pneumonia, but you said that you had originally got swine flu, right?
Yeah, the pneumonia developed from the swine flu. That's what the doctors told me. And the reason is they couldn't believe how rapidly I got sick. I think there was something... was it because I had rapidly?
Well, it wouldn't be rapidly. I think it would be more along the lines of they probably were curious as to why the onset of pneumonia took so long. And that's why they theorized most likely that there was a swine flu component to it.
Oh, okay, because it should have developed sooner?
Well, I don't think it's going to take an entire 7 or 8 day period to develop pneumonia. You're going to get pneumonia in a fairly rapid order. If you are sick, you're going to be sick. You're not just going to be sick for a week and then all of a sudden you've got pneumonia. And you knew that you had pneumonia when?
Well, I mean, I knew that I was really sick when I couldn't get up and down the stairs.
Yeah, and that's when you went, and the doctor confirmed it, right?
Yes. But before that, I was simply, yeah, it makes sense. So he said get a swine flu, or he said get a flu shot. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that it is necessary, and I think that the flu shots do help, especially for anybody who is in an at-risk group. And I would not say I heard Bud giving you a hard time. You're not elderly, Phil, but you're at a point in your age where you do want to protect yourself as well as little kid. So if somebody your age and a little kid...
What do you mean by little kid?
A little kid, you know, a kid about... I can't describe it.
Well, what age?
Well, you can't really say an age. You. If I say an age, and the kid may be strong... I'm just talking, I like to go along just a little kid. That's what I'd like to say.
What does that mean?
You don't know what little kid means.
You don't know what that is?
I know. Wait a minute, Margaret. How old is it?
I don't want to give ages. I don't believe in that. So I just tell people a little kid or, you know, your age, an older guy like you.
Do you give an age for the older guy?
No. I won't look, Phil. I don't hold people's hands. I don't hold people's hands. Somebody said to me, Doctor, should I get a flu shot? And I said in a joking way, I said, only if you want your unborn child to come out staring at the moon when it isn't out. In a joking way.
What kind of a joke is that?
Because I didn't figure anybody was going to take me serious. All right?
Dr. Tarner, there are women out there.
No, well, don't give me there are women out there. Look, either you know what planet you live on or you don't. And as far as I'm concerned, a lot of these parents that are not giving shots, giving immunization to their children, these parents that are not taking that seriously and are putting their children at risk, there's nothing I'm going to say to those idiots. Excuse me for saying that, Phil. I shouldn't use that word. There's nothing I'm going to say to those women that is going to convince them otherwise. And so when I said what I said to that lady, and she immediately got nervous and thought that a flu shot was going to give her unborn child some autistic characteristic or create autism in that child, I knew that I was dealing with someone that wasn't playing with a full deck.
And Doc, isn't there a way, don't you think you're scaring lay people? They don't know anything about medicine and science. There's a lot of folks that are coming to the doctor, and they put their entire trust into a doctor.
That's a big mistake.
Well, you say that's a big mistake, Dr. Tarner, but people make that mistake all the time. Don't you have a responsibility?
I have a responsibility to treat that individual medically the best way I can. I do not have a responsibility not to have a sense of humor. There's nothing in the Hippocratic Oath that says, and you will walk into that office as if you are the undead. What are you?
We're not talking, you know, Phil.
Dr. Tarner, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about that.
What are you talking about?
We're talking about being responsible. You say that having a sense of humor is something you should have. I understand and I agree. But that is not funny to say around a woman who may be expecting, get a flu shot if you want your kid to pop out staring at the moon.
I didn't say staring at the moon.
When the moon isn't out. Whatever you said, you intimated that her child would be autistic.
I did. I was talking to a college graduate, Phil. A college graduate.
It doesn't matter to me. I don't care.
I have to agree with Phil here, Dr. Tarner.
Margaret, I don't care who you agree with. That doesn't make any... You should agree with me. I'm the one that has a doctor in front of his name.
No, I...
No, hold on. Who has DR in front of their name, me or Phil?
You got DR, period.
What?
You have DR in that period, because it's short for it.
Okay, I'm not even going to pay attention to that. Who has...
Dr. Tarner, I will settle it. You do.
Yeah, DR with a period. Okay, you feel better?
Yeah, but you got it wrong the first time.
But I corrected it. Do you feel better?
Are you arguing with him?
Good evening.
You pissed him off. Ask me if I care. Ask me if I care if I pissed him off. This guy's arguing with Bud over whether there's a DR period in front of his name or a DR.
He called back.
Did he call back?
I don't stutter.
Oh, you don't stutter? Okay, I'm not taking the call.
Don't be a child, Phil. Take the call.
No, I'm not going to take the call because Bud's being a smartass.
Well, look, what else was he going to say?
He doesn't have to be a smartass. When I said, did he call back, he goes, I don't stutter.
Yeah, I don't.
So I'm not taking the call.
Dr. Turner, he doesn't want to take the phone call. I'm sorry, I put him on the air by accident.
Thank you, Bud. You know something?
There, I just put him on hold again.
Well, yeah.
Yeah! There, I broke off a hold. How's that feel?
All right, then I'm going to just hang up on him, okay?
I can call him back.
You can call him back if you want the imprint of this lapis lazuli stone from Egypt in your eye.
Maybe after we're up here.
Good.
Phil Hendry.
Hello.
Shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch. Where the debut of the Phil Hendry one-man show is in the offing, and you will be able to, we hope, see it live, because we have got plans to send this thing across the country like a bad flu bug. Now, that's not...
That doesn't work.
Think of something better than that.
Well, you know, like a Powerball. Never mind. So anyway, it'll be a one-man show. It is debuting this year. We certainly are hoping.
Oh, now it's this year.
Yeah, it was gonna be in the spring. Now it's this year.
This spring. I'm sorry, I said this year because it's gonna send you guys off on a tangent. This spring. And, of course, we invite you to join us at philhendryshow.com with a backstage pass, access thousands of hours of audio, great radio shows from the original Phil Hendry Show, except no substitutes. Now, I got to tell you something, and I mean this, and Margaret and I were having an argument about this.
Well, it's not an argument. I can't believe you said what you said.
I said that if I had it to do over again, and all of the shenanigans and stuff that we've done down through the years, I would have done it the way Alex Jones does it. Alex Jones is my hero. I don't want anybody to get any idea that I don't like Alex Jones. I mean, I know I've taken exception to some of the things, but the fact of the matter is, the guy is fantastic. And I'm not being sarcastic.
You don't really mean it.
I do mean it. I do mean it. Because I think Alex Jones knows that a lot of the stuff that he is plugging is kind of hooey, but he's a showman. He is a showman in the grand tradition of P.T. Barnum, all of them, man. You know, people often say to Phil Hendry, well, you're kind of like one of those guys. No, I'm not, because I always told people what it was that I did. I'd say, like Don Rickles, you know, used to say, there was a point in Don Rickles' career where they said to him, you know, you need to go out on stage when you're done and tell people you're just kidding. Otherwise, people are going to think you're a real horse's ass. And he did. And, of course, there are those like me that wished he never did. And there's a lot of people that wish I would not cop to the things that I've done down to the years. They wish that I would have kept that more secret, but I didn't. And you know what? I regret it.
You regret having respect for your audience.
That's not having respect for my audience.
Why not?
Because it's treating my audience like they're stupid. It's treating the audience like they're stupid. Now, I did it because a lot of people advised me to do that because they said, well, you know, Phil, it'll be good. I suppose, but I should have gone at it a whole different other way. I should have gone at it the way Alex Jones goes at it, man. And that is this. I should have used the characters to promote like really legitimate stuff, you know, and really take a legitimate stand on this and sell books and sell CDs. I'm not putting down Alex Jones. You got to understand. People think that I'm being sarcastic. I'm not at all, man. He is in the finest tradition of broadcast entertainment and showmanship. And I don't care if he's getting into it with Pierce Morgan or he's getting, you know, if he's, it doesn't make any difference to me if he thinks 9/11 truth, because the only people that are actually going to take him seriously with 9/11 truth, I forgive me for saying this, are not very bright, or they're mentally disturbed, or they're paranoid or something. You can't be all there if you take what Alex Jones is saying seriously. Now, you tell me, you think he's serious? I know there's a lot of people who listen to his show and say, oh, that cat, he can't, you know, he believes it, Phil. You don't understand. No, you don't understand. No, I get it. You don't understand. And I don't believe that, you know, like, Bud, you were saying you think I'm hurting what he's doing?
Yeah, if you're going to tell everybody he's kidding, you're going to let everybody in on it and stuff.
No, it's not going to hurt. Even he understands that Phil Hendry sitting here sort of rapping about what he does, it's not going to hurt him, because the people that believe the stuff he says, they ain't going to understand what I'm saying, man. I might as well be speaking freaking Greek, you know? The only people who don't understand what I'm talking about right now all already sort of agree with what I'm saying, which is the following thing. Alex Jones is a showman. He knows that what he's talking about is, for the most part, a load. The stuff that is not a load is probably stuff that you would get a 50-50 read on from the general public. Like, you know, for instance, the Kennedy assassination. So I'm like, well, you know, maybe, maybe not. I don't think you have to be nuts, for instance, to think that Kennedy was killed by a, you know, that Kennedy was killed as the result of a conspiracy between a number of people.
You don't think that's crazy?
I don't think it's as crazy. I don't think it's anywhere near as crazy. I don't think it's anywhere near as mentally deficient as saying 9/11 was an inside job. But I don't think Alex Jones believes that it was an inside job.
Yeah, see, that's where you're wrong. Yes, he does.
How do you know?
Well, he says he does.
Really? He says he does. Well, how about that? He says he does.
So you're saying right here on the national radio that Alex Jones is lying?
It's not. I don't call it lying, man. I call it showmanship. I call it standing there and saying, hey, friends and neighbors, what do you think? Yeah, really? Okay, yeah, me too. I call it a guy rallying a bunch of clowns to buy some books, to buy some CDs, to... He's ginning up a particular point of view because it's good for business, man. And you know what? It's entertaining. You know.
Well, it's not entertaining if you feel that he is doing damage.
I don't think. I just don't see it. I think more and more and more, the 9/11 truth people have been so marginalized. I mean, they're so, you know, he's not even really leaning on that anymore. I mean, he's. Here's a story that I was actually going to get into here, and I'm just running my mouth. The White House came to Pierce Morgan's defense on Wednesday against critics of the CNN host's anti-gun views. The gun control debate in the U.S. has found a strange focus in the CNN presenter and British citizen Pierce Morgan, whose aggressive calls for increased gun control in the wake of the Newton shootings inspired the creation of a White House petition to deport him. The petition received the 26,000 signatures needed to receive a response from the White House and currently has more than 100,000 in support. The White House press secretary, Jay Carney, duly appended an official response on Wednesday with the title, "When discussing the Second Amendment, keep the first in mind, too." Good point. Let's not let arguments over the Constitution's Second Amendment violate the spirit of the First. President Obama believes the Second Amendment guarantees an individual right to bear arms. However, the Constitution not only guarantees an individual's right to bear arms, but also enshrines the freedom of speech and the freedom of the press, fundamental principles that are essential to our democracy. Alex Jones, the radio show host and noted conspiracy theorist who supports the petition, appeared on Morgan's CNN show Monday night. The fiery confrontation went viral with Jones warning of a new American revolution. 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Now, that's an example, I think, of...
So, hold on. You're saying that he doesn't believe that.
No, I didn't say that, did I? I didn't say that, did I?
Yes, you did. You said that he thinks it's baloney and other stuff that he
said. Well, he said most of it.
There you go. Thank you, Robert, for paying attention. I said most of it.
Well, isn't it convenient that now he said something, what happens when I get excited, I start talking like Robert. And not Robert, not you, Robert.
Talk about me because I'm black?
No, like Bud, I meant to say.
What?
I talk like an imbecile.
Well, Margaret, I mean, you know, I could say that that happens most of the time.
Go to hell.
Where are you going?
Where do you think?
Going to the toilet.
That's right.
Hey, Margaret, that, you know, that's kind of a really rude thing to say. All I...
Well, you did kind of put her down.
Oh, come on. All right, Alex Jones said that. You know, he's probably not far off there. Now, please understand, I'm not saying, you know, Americans are insane and we're going to overthrow the government. But the Bill of Rights, which is the Bill of Rights, if you don't know, ladies and gentlemen, those are the first 10 amendments to the Constitution of the United States of America. They were enshrined. They were they became amendments. They were ratified by the colonies or the new American states shortly after the adoption of the Constitution. They were the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights, guaranteeing basic rights from freedom of the press, freedom of speech, search and seizure, the quartering of a military, in other words, being forced to open your home to government entities, government employees, the guarantee of property, my God, you know, I'm sorry, I don't know them by heart, but, you know, this is a very, very sacred part of the Constitution. There's not one of those amendments since the birth of this country that has ever been repealed. Not one.
What about prohibition?
That's not the Bill of Rights, you jackass.
Yeah, we...
All right, take it easy. Prohibition's not the Bill of Rights, bud.
Yeah, it is. The right... Well...
May I? I've got to come back from the toilet. I can't. The right to drink is not a... I'm going back to the toilet.
God! Bud, that's not one of the Bill of Rights, okay? Yes, that was repealed. You're absolutely right. It's not the Bill of Rights. The first 10 amendments, never have they been repealed. To repeal one of those amendments, you're talking about repealing an amendment that has been with us since the birth of the country, that is rooted in an extremely powerful period. That was the American Revolution, when the arms that the individual was able to bear assisted in the freeing of this country, or if you will, the separation of this country from the British. If it were not for, and this is why they talk about militia, if it were not for the privately armed militia members, these were militia members, yes, but they were brought together because they had guns already.
You're copying the way I say things.
Sorry. If you were not in the bathroom, you could say it.
All right. I'm back.
Great. So, in other words, you know, Alex Jones is probably not far off. I don't like the way he puts things, a new American Revolution. I think, for things to get that bad in this guy, and I agree, for things to get that far in this country where we actually repeal the Second Amendment, we would be on the verge of some kind of I think, catastrophic societal change. I hate to put it that way.
You're saying that if we took a democratic step in repealing the Second Amendment, there would be a revolution.
Well, all right, let me put it this way. If the American people were so moved that they wanted to repeal the Second Amendment, that takes two-thirds or three-quarters, I believe, of the states, the United States, three-quarters of the legislatures in the United States of America have to vote in favor of the amendment for it to take effect, for it to be a part of the U.S. Constitution. And the repealing of an amendment is the same. I think it's even an amendment. I think it's like, you know, what's the such and such amendment? That was the repealing of the Second Amendment. That would be you're right. There would have to be a lot of support for it, popular support. If America ever got to the point where it popularly supported an amendment to repeal, then I suppose Alex Jones is wrong. You know.
Yeah, but a lot of people, even a minority, could get the gun.
That's right.
Well, a minority of people with guns trying to oppose the majority opinion. Understand what we're talking about now here. If the Second Amendment was repealed, man, it would be only because... Well, we got to take a break, so...
Only because why?
Because we're taking a break, and then I'll talk about it later.
You can't just leave me hanging like that.
Oh, grow up.
Margaret, you're one to talk. I'm sorry, I have to go to the bathroom.
I'll go and use the toilet when... Oh, my God. So you want me to urinate right here on the floor?
No, I don't, but it's very convenient. We'll be right back, Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Very
the Phil Hendry Show.
All of a sudden, you got to go use the bathroom when I'm beating you in an argument. All right, so anyway, welcome back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So, you know, Pierce Morgan and Alex Jones, they can jaw-jack it all they want. The point that I'm trying to make is Alex Jones is like my hero because he's fantastic. I mean, and that's what I should have done with my career.
You should have been a nut, is what you're saying.
No, well, a rich nut. Yeah, yeah. You know, here I am going for the art and all of that jazz. This cat, he knows where it's at. Alex Jones is a guy that distilled radio, and they're always the guys that distill down the radio business beautifully are guys like Alex Jones, guys like I don't know, anybody that knows what radio is all about. It's just it's about you are more a party MC than you are an actor or entertainer performer. When you're on the radio, you're more like a guy that is emceeing a game show than you are a dude that's, you know, doing any kind of theater. Alex Jones gets that. Phil Hendry, he don't. However, you know, I do what I do. Now, so we're talking about the Second Amendment, right?
Yeah, well, you're saying that Alex Jones is wrong.
Well, I don't think that, you know, look, I think that Americans right now hold on to their guns and hold on to gun rights in a very primal way, and that the Second Amendment will never be repealed. And so in that sense, yeah, if there was some power that suddenly landed in the United States and said, we're taking your guns away in today's terms, in 2013 terms, there would be a revolution because that's not where the American people are. Yeah, there's talk of gun control, but it is not a mass... it does not have mass support. It certainly doesn't have the support it would take, the support it would need to repeal the Second Amendment. Ain't gonna happen. Now, there's people out there, especially some of the more paranoid types, who think, well, yeah, but they can pass laws and gradually, slowly but surely, they take our rights away. No, they don't gradually, slowly. You know, these people with this gradually, slowly but surely, I just love it because they can't really tell you where gradually, slowly but surely your rights have been taken away. They will tell you that they see something that could turn into something else that may someday turn into this and then eventually turn into that. And then maybe someday, way down the road when they're dead and buried, something really bad will happen. Now, here's where it's at when it comes to amendments. The Congress, whatever 2/3 of both the House of both houses, meaning the Senate and the House of Representatives, shall deem it necessary, shall propose amendments to this Constitution, or on the application of the legislatures of 2/3 of the several states, shall call a convention for proposing amendments, which in either case shall be valid to all intents and purposes as part of this Constitution when ratified by the legislatures of 3/4 of the several states. All right?
No.
All right. Well, basically what it means is this. The Congress can bring up an amendment, or I believe it just said 2/3 of the several states can bring up an amendment. So if the amendment originates with the American people, it has to originate with at least the vote of 2/3 of the legislatures of the United States of America. So if out there in America somebody said, I want an amendment that will repeal the Second Amendment.
So they have to go out and go to all the states?
Well, they would have to make it a wide, a big, broad-reaching effort. Yeah, they would have to convince the American people in general to the point where the American people go to their state legislatures and say, we want to vote on this. You know, we think this is worthy of a vote. I want to vote against it. I want to vote for it. And if they get 2/3 of the U.S. legislatures to say, yes, we want an amendment to repeal the Second Amendment, now it goes to the Congress of the United States. And then 2/3 of both the Senate and the House of Representatives have to support it, and then it becomes an amendment. Now, some people may be sitting there right now listening to what I just said, because a lot of people, and I'm not trying to be a smartass, folks, this is true, a lot of people, they don't know what the U.S., they don't know what amendments are. They think that if you vote on something, then that's just where, you know, and if it's unconstitutional, it's unconstitutional. See, sometimes you can't vote for things that are unconstitutional, but I know that...
Well, don't be so condescending, Phil, because there are a lot of people that feel that we should be able to vote and have the guns taken away. I'm one of them.
Well, then you don't understand the Constitution.
Well, yes, I do, and that's where I don't think you do.
What are you talking about?
Don't look at me and say, what are you talking about, and look me up and down. You know something, Bud? I'm not a piece of flank steak, all right?
I didn't look you up and down.
What are you talking about, Margaret?
What are you talking about? We don't want guns. I think it's very, very clear to you, Phil, that I'm anti-gun all the way. 100%.
Yes.
All right. Then why can't the American people vote and say, we don't want the guns, we don't want the guns?
Yeah, you can't do that, though, according to Mr. Henry.
You can't just do that.
Oh, according to you? What are you, King Phil?
No, I just got done telling you what the Constitution says.
I don't care what the Constitution says. I think it's time the American people take a vote.
Oh, you don't care what the Constitution... Margaret, don't be dumb, okay?
Excuse me, I'm not being dumb. The American people want to vote on this.
The American people are going to vote on it according to the United States Constitution. If they don't want to do it according to the United States Constitution, then they have to amend the United States Constitution to change the rules so they can just vote on it whatever they want. But they still have to amend it.
Oh, my ass.
Oh, that's very ladylike.
Well, you forced me into it. My bare ass. There, you happy? You forced me into that.
She's going to start to cry.
Yes, I am.
Oh, well, Margaret, you starting to bawl is not going to forgive what you just said to me.
Oh, are you all offended? I'll say it again. My bare rear end.
You wish.
Phil.
What's that mean, I wish?
You wish you could peel that girdle off.
What is it?
Got a lot of people calling up here.
All right, let me go to the phone calls here. We got people complaining about something. Dave, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Dave, how you doing?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I'm doing good. I wanted to, first of all, say I love your program. Listen to it every night. I was talking to Bud Dickman, who answered the phone on your show, and I just said to him, what's up with what you're doing tonight? Because you said you was not going to do.
You said you weren't going to talk about politics.
Well, okay, yeah, you're right. Not talk about politics?
Well, you said you were not going to, talk about, news talk. And this sounds like, you just do news talk and everything.
You're right. I did say that. You did. I think what I was trying to say, Dave, was that I didn't want to talk about, just for just conversation's sake, turn this into a news talk show. You got to do the headlines, because the headlines 90% of the time mean nothing. It's not news. This is interesting to me from the standpoint of the Constitution.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it sounds like, you're doing like gun talk and everything. Like you said you was not going to do it. I mean, I thought I tuned in because I heard that you was going to talk about Rosie O'Donnell, and that she's having a baby or something.
Yeah, I told people to call back because they want to know about Rosie O'Donnell having a baby.
Rosie O'Donnell is not having a baby.
Well, that's what Dickman said, so...
Yes, she is.
Wait, are you doing a talk show?
Well, hold on, Mr. Henry.
Yeah.
I just want to say something because I didn't want to get in, Bud Dickman in trouble or anything, but I called up, and I said to Bud Dickman, is Mr. Henry going to talk about politics or news talk? And he goes, no, but I see what you're talking about. And I said, well, what? He says, because it sounds like he's talking about news talk because of he's talking about gun control,
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. And he said, well, stick around because coming up later in the show, we're going to be talking about Rosie O'Donnell, and she had a baby. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, Mr. Henry?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he goes, yeah, it says here that Rosie O'Donnell And then he went into the fact that...
Hold on for just a second here. Hold on.
Hold on.
What are you doing, man? Your own talk show?
Well, yeah. I mean, no. If the people are called up and they want to have a talk show, then we, you know...
Bud is just giving them a talk... If they don't like what you're doing, Bud is a fallback talk show.
Oh, you're a fallback talk show. Well...
Now, come on, Phil.
Hey, Mr. Henry, all these... Hold on, I'm not talking to you, Robert. So you're having yourself a little talk show over there. Is that what you're doing?
Well, Mr. Henry, this is Dave.
Yeah.
It was more interesting than what you were doing, that's all.
Yeah, that's what they said. They want to talk about Rosie O'Donnell had a kid. And it's more interesting than talk about a gun.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Oh, well, is that right? Good night.
Phil, where are you going?
I'm getting up. I'm leaving. Isn't that what you do?
Oh, don't be a big baby about it and everything like that.
Who are you calling a baby?
You hung up on that caller, too. That guy's going to double piss, man, because he sounds like he's a Mexican. And you know,
will you shut up about that? Who are you calling a baby?
Well, you're being all baby-like.
Phil, don't be baby-ish, because...
This guy here, according to that caller, is doing his own talk show because when people don't dig what I'm talking about, they can call up on the Bud Dickman show over here.
It is a fallback. It's a de facto talk show. In other words, we give them a choice.
You know, you're saying you're in support of... Are you answering some of these calls, too?
Sometimes I do pass them over to Margaret.
Yes.
Okay, so how many talk shows have we got going here at once?
We have two. If they don't like what Bud's saying, then I take the call, and we get it said. We kick it around.
God, don't be looking all like somebody just kicked you in the ball area. You know,
you watch your language, okay?
Well, you do, man. You look like someone just hit the Royal American.
You know, you guys are really free with the language, and I don't like that. Number one, I'm the only guy doing a talk show around here. If people don't like it, then they can listen to another show. If they call up and they say, hey, Bud, what are you doing anyway?
They'll call up and go, yeah, I don't like what Phil's talking about. So I said, do you hear about Rosie O'Donnell had a baby? And I go, no. I go, yeah, my opinion on that, you know, about lesbians having babies, and then we just have a discussion.
Yes, and if they don't like that, then he kicks it over to me, and I talk about entertainment news.
So while I'm sitting here breaking my ass, you guys are taking the phone calls and talking to people, and this guy Dave. How did Dave get on the air?
Well, he wanted to talk about how he didn't want to talk about it.
Yes, he wanted to talk to you about how he didn't want to talk about what you were talking about.
Well, why didn't he just talk to Bud?
Well, he didn't want to talk about what Bud wanted to talk about. When I talked to him, he was a little vulgar, and so I kicked it back to Bud. And that's when Bud made the decision to go ahead and just throw him back.
Whoa. Now I'm really pissed.
What are you getting pissed at?
What do you mean, throw him back?
Have you ever gone fishing?
Yes, I've gone fishing, and you throw back the fish you don't want.
Yeah, bingo.
So in other words, giving the caller to me means you just threw him back.
Phil, you're being a child. We're simply trying to have a successful... We are looking... to make this show a success.
Really? And so what you're doing is you're taking the calls off the air, and if they don't want to talk about what Bud's talking about, and they don't want to talk about what you're talking about, well, then you throw the caller back into the pond, meaning you give him back to me.
Yeah.
So that's what Mr. Oliver was, a fish that wasn't good enough for your shows.
Now, hold on. Here's what comes next, Bud. And Robert, are you listening?
Yeah.
Here's what comes next.
Okay, you know, I tried to get you guys involved in this show.
Oh, don't make it sound like a big deal.
Really, Phil?
No. I try to get you guys involved in this show, and you use it as an opportunity to make me look like a horse's ass backing out of a stable. Fine.
Well, a horse's ass backing out of a stable is going to look the same as a horse's ass.
Yeah, I try to tell him that.
Yeah.
Oh, do you try to tell... Quit talking about me like I ain't here, you understand? All right, where's this Rosie O'Donnell story?
Finally, you're doing here...
Yeah, here's the one here.
Is that the one I showed you?
Well, this one here.
Hey, Bud. Bud!
Yeah?
Where's the news story?
In front of your face?
Yeah, could you take it away from my face? Because I can't see the microphone.
Oh.
Thank you. Comedian and chat show host Rosie O'Donnell announced the birth of a daughter, Dakota, on Wednesday, her first child with second wife, Michelle Rounds. O'Donnell, who had strapped on a penis. I'm kidding.
Oh, my God. You better apologize for that right now.
I'm not apologizing. I'm kidding. I'm not...
You apologize for... Do you understand that I have lunch with these people?
Margaret, I'm not all right, I'm sorry, Ms. O'Donnell.
Better. You know, Phil, there's certain people you can't mess around with.
You know, what are you guys turning into program directors here or something? You, shut up. You, just don't bug me, okay?
I have lunch with Rosie O'Donnell at least once a month. And I don't want to sit down with her over a Cobb salad.
Yeah?
I don't want to sit down with her over a Cobb salad.
I don't understand.
That's what she orders when she's angry at me. If I see a Cobb salad, that is her message to me. She's sending a very clear message.
Okay, I don't...
You don't get it, do you?
No, I don't, Mr. Program Director Dickman. Please help me, okay?
The Cobb, she's basically saying that Margaret is going to get one wedged up.
Yeah, that's what a Cobb salad means.
Are you telling me that this is something I'm supposed to know?
Well, figure it out, Phil.
Yeah, figure it out.
Bud, I've had enough of you. Shut up.
Well,
shut.
Phil, if she's ordering a Cobb salad and she's angry...
Wait a minute. Wait. Hold the phone. If she's ordering a Cobb salad, therefore she's angry, not and she's angry.
Well, what did I say?
You're saying that you have to know she's angry... as well as the fact she's ordering a...
You better get him. Get a drink into him, because he's getting hysterical.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't need a drink, and I don't need to hear from you either. Both of you people are nuts. You both need a psychiatrist. Rosie O'Donnell sitting down and having a Cobb salad with you at lunch. I don't see where any human being on Earth is supposed to understand that means that she's pissed at you, because a Cobb means a Cobb wedged. Because she's got a...
No, because I'm going to get one wedged if I don't retract what you said. And I didn't even say it.
And how do you do that?
Over lunch.
And how do you retract what you said over lunch?
Well, have you heard of I'm sorry? So I've got to pick up the tab. I've got to get something other than a Cobb, which is generally means I've got to order a meat dish, which sends the message that I'm getting an anti-Cobb entree, and yes, I pick up the tab.
It's pretty basic, with the basic Hollywood language.
You know what? You know, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind.
Phil.
No, don't Phil me. You're out of your mind. You must need a doctor. I'm saying that right now. You said my bare ass. Well, I'm saying you need a doctor.
Just because you don't speak the language.
No, it doesn't have anything to do with me speaking the language. I don't think you live in the real world. Rosie O'Donnell orders a Cobb salad. That means she's pissed at you for something that she heard you say or write. So in order for you to say that you're sorry, you've got to buy something anti-Cobb, which is a meat entree. Why not just say to her, Rosie, I see that you've bought the Cobb salad. I imagine that you're angry at me. I'm sorry.
She would be doubly insulted by that, because then I'm calling her an imbecile.
How are you calling her an imbecile?
Because she's sitting there with a Cobb, and so I say that you have a Cobb's out. It's going to sound sarcastic. She's going to think that I'm trying to provoke her into a fight. And if you know Rosie O'Donnell, that means there's going to be a fight. And between her and me, I lose every time. Believe me. And it is a knockdown dragout. Crockery is broken. Tables are broken. Chairs are broken, and I lose. And what's so funny?
Well, that's a hell of a fight, Margaret.
Yeah, that does sound like a fight.
That's a hell of a fight. I mean, I'd have to say, if you lose that fight, I would say it was a toss-up to begin with.
Well, you know I'm not going to go down just... I'm not going down quiet. You know that.
No, I don't know. I've never seen you fight. But if you're telling me that a fight between you and Rosie O'Donnell is A, she's going to win it, and B, stuff's going to get destroyed, man, I'd love to watch a fight like that.
I would.
Get a ringside seat on a fight like that.
But could you say that a little louder? I didn't hear you.
Then get a ringside seat on a fight like that.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Jake, don't you know she's being a smartass? All right, we'll be right back with the close of this phenomenal, ridiculous, whatever this thing is that we've been doing tonight. Just remember, if you sit down and have lunch with Rosie O'Donnell and she orders a Cobb salad, that means she wants the wedge one. So you better apologize by having yourself a hamburger. We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
All right, I'm Phil Hendry.
Welcome back to the world famous Phil. Hey, how come they changed that bumper to the Phil Hendry Show? Why'd they change that? It used to say the world famous Phil Hendry Show. They don't like saying that anymore, huh? Somebody upstairs made an executive decision to change the bumpers on the show. We're going to change them back. I don't like that.
Well, my understanding is that they made the executive decision.
Well, nobody told me they're making any executive decisions around here. We have a bumper that says world famous Phil Hendry Show. Somebody made an executive decision without telling me. And guess what? As a result of that, we're changing it back. Dan? I asked you to change the world-famous Phil Hendry Show bumper? Never mind.
What an idiot. Never mind, Dan. I've got it. You are a real piece of work.
I forgot.
You forgot you even told Dan to do it now. Like a total... What a jackball and everything.
You done?
Not really. I've got a few more items I'd like to say. First of all...
Well, no, you're done.
Well, you had it coming.
Well, that is true, bud. Go ahead.
Yeah. Number one, you tell Dan, I want to get rid of world famous. Then he do. And then, when he do, you go, who did it? And he said, you did it. And like a guy that cut a bad fart, you don't even want to admit to it.
Very well said, buddy.
Good.
That's about the, yeah, that was very eloquent. I feel put down.
I thought it was very good.
Just like a guy to cut one in an elevator, everyone's looking at you, but you don't even want to say nothing. Man, I feel bad about it. Feel real bad.
Yeah, bud, you're right. I was the guy that said change those bumpers, and Dan did, and then they were changed, and now I'm saying who made the decision? I want to talk to that guy, and the only guy to talk to is the guy in the mirror. The guy in the mirror.
Yeah, just like Lil Wayne said, I'm looking at the man in the mirror.
That's not Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne is the one that goes, mirror on the wall. Yes, that's it. One, two. Phil, do you know this song?
Yeah, it's one of my favorite songs.
All right. But it's not Lil Wayne. It's Bruno Mars. See, that's what everyone says. They go, oh, I love Lil Wayne. It's not. It's Bruno Mars. You know Bruno Mars? He's the one that conked his hair.
Never mind about him conking his hair. What about it?
Excuse me, but he conked his hair.
All right, so he conked his hair.
What's that mean?
Then he straightened it out like a white man.
He's a classic look. It's a James Brown look, okay? Don't give me this makes it look like a white man.
Well, that's what it is.
Not with Bruno Mars. Number one, Bruno Mars may be black and he may be Hispanic. How about that? How's that feel, huh?
That guy's a black man. Don't tell me he's Hispanic.
All right. But he didn't conk his hair so he can pass for a white guy. He conked his hair because it's a classic rock and roll look from the 50s and 60s. And a lot of black artists, you know, Little Richard... Freaking James Brown.
Yes, but they had to conk their hair so they could pass as white.
James Brown passes white? Ha 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 ha, you nuts.
Easy, bud. It was a look. That pompadour was a look. So a lot of black artists and white artists, you know. I mean, I was born with curly freaking hair, man. I'd have to get my hair straightened to put it into a freaking processed pompadour like that. Or I'd have to cut it real short. So Bruno Mars, that's what he did.
Phil, you're giving us the big sociological lesson. Thank you very much. Hey, thank you. Now, may I continue?
Yes, go ahead.
You're right, Phil, when you take responsibility for ordering those bumpers to be changed and then saying who did it, and then you realize you did, so you feel like the big, fat back end of a horse, don't you?
Yes.
All right. And you even said, when you look in the mirror... That's the man you have to blame.
Yeah, and that's when a little Wayne.
Will you take it easy, bud?
I understand, bud. And it goes something like this. 2-3 and a 1-2-3. 2-3. Okay, heel toe, heel toe. And now, mirror on the wall. Here we are again. Do-do-do-do-do. You are my only friend. Mirror on the wall. Yeah, I'm little Wayne, and my father is a real, you know, douche. Something, 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 something. And then mirror on the wall. It goes like that.
Well, that was great, Margaret. You know, you ought to do a whole album of that, you know.
Don't be sarcastic, Phil. I'm giving you just a taste of it.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, you know, here's little Wayne. My dad's a douchebag. You know, it's almost like you don't even respect the music that you're singing.
That is not true. I love that song.
It's a great song. So why don't you sing it right?
Yeah, I'll sing it right. I bet they got lyrics and everything.
Wait. Hold on for a minute. What did you just say?
I said you ought to sing it right. They got the lyrics.
This is what it sounded like to me, Robert, and I know you come from not only the planet Earth, but I also know you come from America. But this is what it sounded like.
Yeah, and that's what it sounds like when you talk. In fact, here's what it sounds like when you sing.
That's fantastic.
Both of you can, I hope they reintroduce slavery.
Goodbye.
Whoa.
Hey.
No, I'm going to the bathroom. Don't follow me in.
Hey. Man, you hear what she said?
Hey, look at Robert. Get in line, okay, man? She's insulting everybody around here.
They introduced slavery.
Hey, whose side are you on, man? A minute ago, you thought what I said was funny.
It was. It was very funny.
No, it was not.
Yes, it was, Margaret. If you're going to the bathroom, be in the bathroom. God, what is going on with this show?
She's coming in here saying, because I got off a cutie, she says that she hopes they reintroduce slavery. That means they'd have to amend the Constitution, right?
Yes.
And didn't you just say that American people would have to be supportive of that?
Yes. There's no way the American people will ever bring back slavery, Robert. Don't worry about that.
But about a gun control?
Right now, the American people are not interested in amending the Constitution on gun control. That ain't going to happen. Now, it's possible that gun control eventually will be introduced at a constitutional level, but that, I believe, will not happen for quite possibly, I mean, if it takes decades, you'll think that at that point we'll have solved the problem some other way. So I don't think it'll ever happen. All right? World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. And, of course, we are online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Join us with a backstage pass. You can, you can get all of the thousands and thousands of hours of great radio that we have online in our archives at philhendryshow.com. Until then, this is... Hey, what happened to... never mind. I'm doing the end of the show, folks, because I just had a brain fart, you know?
Phil.
That figures.
We'll be right back.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. You caught me mid-task here as we're attempting to download a song for the appearance of Father James McCorders. We're going to continue to talk about this episode, this tragedy, this it seems like an American tragedy. The tragedy that unfolded in Sanford, Florida. And if you asking Phil Hendry, well, how do you feel, Phil? I'll tell you. I mean, I was angry at the guy with the gun, not because he had a gun, because he was an idiot, because he was stupid, because this law that they passed in Florida, which is already a stupid law, if I'm hearing it right, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be able to defend yourself with a gun. You're allowed to defend yourself with a gun in the state of California, in the state of Arizona, and just about every state that I know of, there is an opportunity for a citizen to defend themselves using a gun. But in Florida, stand your ground. What does that mean? If you feel threatened, so any dumbass who feels threatened is allowed to pick a gun up and blow somebody away? I don't know. 877-876-PHIL is our number as we are joined here by Father James McCorders from Belmar Academy in Glendale, California. We do thank you for being with us, Father. I guess it's a little bit of a different take on what we're talking about tonight.
The first thing I wanted to ask you, Phil, is if you had the song that I eventually I'm going to want to play for the people.
We do have it, yeah.
All right. This is a song that I first heard when I had before I had left Ireland and before I had encountered really for the very first time my congregation, the people that I would ultimately shepherd in a very poor neighborhood in upstate New York. In a place called Syracuse, New York, as a very poor, poor Italian families. And there was a great deal of gun violence. And I remember this song very clearly by this group, Lynyrd Skynyrd. Do you remember this group?
Of course. I played them when I was a disc jockey.
And if you remember the song, Phil, it was called Saturday Night Special. And that's not the song.
This is it here, but
yes. I would ask you to listen to the lyrics of the song here, Phil. Is the man is singing of, take all the guns and throw them into the bottom of the sea. It says, take the guns and throw them into the bottom of the sea. And that's what I'm preaching, if you want to say that I'm giving my homily here this evening, as you asked me to.
Well, I thought that we would talk about this situation.
Listen to it. Like a black cat do. And two bodies laying naked. This is a song about a man and a woman who are lying in bed together. They've had sex together. And the husband of the woman has found the man and has found the woman together. And the husband is... takes the Saturday Night Special, and you can hear he shoots the man dead and he shoots the woman dead, and it's a tragedy because you can well imagine there's perhaps a man, and would you please tell the man to turn it down?
You can turn the music down, bud.
And you can well imagine that in the next room someplace there's a child, or maybe there's two children or three or more, and they hear the firing of this weapon. And they hear the life being taken by their own father as he takes the life of their mother. And this is the gun violence of America. Now, I worked among people from the very time that I left the seminary, from the very time that I was granted my novitiate, and the first time that I walked as best as I could in the shoes of Christ. And I witnessed for myself so many people affected by this violence. And, Phil, I will tell you if you ask me for a solution to this, it's to take those guns and to throw those guns in the ocean, as the song says.
Well...
And I know what you're going to say. You're going to say about the right to bear arms. You're going to talk about all of the constitutional issues. But I'm here to tell you about what God would want us to do. Doesn't that count for anything?
Well, Father, I know that God doesn't want us to kill each other. But I don't think that God wants us to stand there and be just a target for someone's violence, does he?
Bill, I'm talking to you now not just as your friend. I'm talking to you now as a priest. And you're a Catholic. And I know that not everyone in your audience is Catholic. But everyone in your audience, I suspect, maybe not everyone in your audience, but I would say quite a few people in your audience, I would say a lot of them are believers in a supreme being that we call God. And when I say to them that I'm a priest, and that I tell them that what God would want us to do is to throw the guns into the bottom of the ocean, are you sitting there and telling me, are you trying to tell me they're going to give me an argument? Or are you,
well, I'm saying...
Or are you saying that they are going to... are you telling me that they're going to laugh at me? That they're going to look into the face of the priest and they're going to laugh? Are you saying they'll look into the eyes of a priest and laugh? Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I'm not saying. I'm saying that.
But are you saying that?
Well, hold on. What I'm saying is that they are going to say, Father, you know.
But are they going to be mealy-mouthed about it? Because that's the way you sound. You're sounding mealy-mouthed.
What do you mean I'm sounding mealy-mouthed?
Well, you're going harder. Spit it out, lad. If you're going to be a man, then
I believe that we should be allowed to bear arms, yes.
You believe that we, even after I said what I said to you, you were raised Catholic, you know that I'm a Catholic priest. Boy.
Well, what, I mean, if you're asking my honest opinion.
I asked for your honest opinion, but I also asked you to consider that who you are saying it to. Do you know who you're saying it to?
I'm saying it to Father James Recorders.
What's the first part of that, though?
Father.
There you go. And you've got the guts to say to me that you would go against what I have said to you as a priest. And
well, what is, you know, I got to ask you a question. What is being a priest?
What do you mean, what is being a priest?
What does that represent? If you're a priest, does that mean you're right all the time?
It means when I speak on ecclesiastical matters, and when I speak on matters of liturgy, that I am speaking for Jesus. And if you ask me, does that mean that I'm always right? I will say, I'm not always right. I'm not saying that I'm always right. I'm saying that Jesus is right.
So Jesus wants us to take the guns and...
Don't demean and don't you dare blaspheme or mock the word of God.
I'm not doing that.
Well, you said, what you're saying is, it sounded smart-ass. It sounded like you were...
I apologize. I didn't want to sound that way.
Well, that's what it sounded like. Don't say, so what you saying to me, Father? And you're doing it in that loosey-goosey kind of a gay sound. And
no, I'm not. If you're saying that I'm mocking you, I'm not. I'm asking to be clarified on that point.
At what point do you need clarified?
The point that I need clarified is God wants us to throw the guns in the ocean so that when someone breaks into my house and they've got a gun...
Oh, you feel you've got to stop with that old saw. You know what's going with that saw about if someone breaks into my house? If someone breaks into my house, if someone ties my wife down, if someone ties... Are you going to say that?
Father...
Are you going to say that? You're going to say if someone ties my wife down, are you going to say that?
Yes, I am. I'm going to say that.
Then let me tell you what you do. You're a man of God. You put your trust in God.
That is...
That's what you were about to call me an a-hole, weren't you?
No, I was not.
Yes, you were. You were going to say that's the advice of an a-hole. That's what you were going to say.
No, I was not, Father.
Yes, you were. Phil, don't lie. You were going to say that's the advice of an a-hole. Because... You don't agree. You think you should have a gun. And you see what a gun did. Take a look, Mr. Henry, at your gun. Look at what the gun did. Are you proud of that? Are the American people who believe in guns, are they proud of the gun? Of what the gun done? This is what we want more than anything else, the people of this country. Look at what the gun done. And don't let it be done again.
It sounds like you're giving your homily.
Well, you wanted me to speak honestly from the heart and speak as I feel Jesus might speak to us. And that's what I feel he would say.
All right, Father. I'm going to take a break here.
I know you take your break, and we're going to give a phone number or something, right?
Yes, sir, and we will take some calls.
I look forward to that very much.
All right. Father James McCord is with us from Belmar Academy. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Take all the guns and throw them in the ocean. That's the solution to the problem, according to Father James McCorders. And he ought to know. He's a priest. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I will not. I don't want to talk about...
When we come back.
All right.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Father James McCorders from Belmar Academy as we talk. And we've talked candidly, Father, about so many different issues and so many different, you know, so many different situations and environments that affect people. This shooting in Florida is a tragedy. My personal feeling is this was an irresponsible human being. This was some imbecile, as far as I'm concerned, who took this asinine law all the way to the nth degree. A guy who isn't qualified to be any kind of a marshal or a security guy. You know, guns are supposed to be for self-defense, primarily in your own house.
Well, I have to tell you that you're making a good speech there, but I think you're so far afield of what the real problem is. You talk about guns and what they're for. I know what guns are for. I've seen the neighborhoods of the guns. And by the way, I want to make one point.
You've seen the neighborhoods of the guns.
I've been in these neighborhoods where they live by the gun. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. And if I went to those neighborhoods and I said to them, take all the guns and throw them in the bottom of the ocean, you know, I would have thousands of mothers that would hoist me onto their shoulders. And they'd say, Father James McCourtis for president. Father James McCourtis for president. But I want to make a point. Because this comes up often when I'm on the radio programs or I go on the television programs and I'm making a social point about a political point, something that needs to be said. And the people will often bring up this terrible child molestation scandal that the Catholic Church went through a number of years ago to try to sidetrack me. Or to try to use that as an argument against my points. I will not countenance that. I will not allow that to sidetrack the argument.
Well, Father, I think that that's fair, but people are going to have their opinions.
I'm not going to talk to anybody that wants to bring up the child molestation, because that's their way of trying to get the moral high ground out from underneath me. And I'm not going to let that happen. So, with that having been said, I've taken away the one weapon that most people are going to have against me, using the child molestations, and now I've got the high moral ground, and, boy, I'll tell you, I feel like a dog and someone's thrown me fresh red meat.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Yeah, okay, Father. You know, we're talking here about something that is much more complex than just taking the guns and throwing them in the ocean.
Oh, you think so, huh?
Yeah, I do. I think so. 877-876-7445. Let's go over to Kip. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Father McCourtis, Kip.
Yes, Father. I tend to agree with the Father to a great degree. I think that our right to bear arms has changed. I mean, we take advantage of that right. And a kid died, and then we got an idiot like your last guest. An idiot like your last guest making excuses. It's a gated, non-gated community. And
that's exactly correct. That's exactly correct.
If you want to bear arms, you got to be responsible. And people are not responsible. It's proven. This man's walking around while a mother's burying her dead son.
He's walking around on the street. He's walking around like God's own jackass, isn't he, walking around? And for
exactly.
All we know, the man still has his weapon on him. He still has his weapon.
Look, I don't disagree with you guys on that. I think the guy ought to be in jail, too.
Don't give me that, Phil. Because with your attitude and your belief system, Phil, the man, that's why he killed the man in the first place.
No, with my attitude, what are you talking about? I didn't even know Florida had this stupid law. Stand your ground. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life.
It is. But the thing is we talk about our right to bear arms, but we're not people who bear arms aren't responsible. If you look at the number of deaths the kids die of, 85 to 95% of are murders committed with arms.
I ought to listen to this young man because what he's saying is true. They're killed with guns. And now you hear all of these hip-hop artists, don't you know? And I listen to this one punk. If I saw half of the hip-hop artists that I hear on the radio and they were standing in front of me, I'd slap their faces.
And well, which one are you talking about?
Oh, this punk, this Drake. All of the young boys and the girls listen to this man. And this young man, Lil Wayne, I'd slap their faces for the things they say about women and the guns that they carry. I'd slap their faces and I'd kick, and I even used the N-word one day. But because I'm a Catholic priest, I'm allowed to.
And because you're a Catholic priest, you could use the N-word?
You can use the N-word.
I'll tell you what. I saw these young black boys trying to act all tough, and I said, you two, nappy-headed, and I said, N, you get your butts off of this playground right now, because they were on the school.
How is that going?
I'll tell you, because sometimes you have to pick up the sword.
That's what God would say.
I didn't use physical violence.
Father, is that what God would say? If that was him, what
did Jesus do? What did Jesus do with the money changers?
What did he do with the money changers? Oh my goodness, this show is full of just interesting.
Let me ask you this question: what did Jesus do with the money changers?
He picked them up and threw them out.
He physically ejected them from the synagogue. Yes, and I told these two nappy
black people.
Well, I got to tell you, with all of the stuff that we've been going through, Father McQuarters, for you to say you saw two black kids on the playground, they were not students.
No, they're not students. I knew they were not students.
Okay, and you said the first thing you said to them, you two nappy-headed ends.
That's right, and I grabbed them by the collar and I physically dragged them off of the playground.
The guy who was in that gated community who made the same judgment that you're making right now. He saw a black kid. He assumed the worst, but he did something different than what you did. He shot the kid. He assumed the worst.
Isn't that the difference between me and him?
Let me tell you something. In that community, that white kid would still be alive today, but it was a black kid, so now he's dead.
Hold on for a minute. You're talking to a priest now.
Then you know what?
I'm a priest.
I want to tell you, I didn't pick up a gun,
and I didn't shoot nobody. You see, that's the difference between me and the man down there in Florida. I have black students.
Let me ask you. You have black students.
Well, of course we've got black students.
Do you call them N?
If they're getting under my skin, I say, you two lousy, lazy N-words, get back into class.
Are you putting me on? I mean, what do their parents say?
This is a private college. This is a private college preparatory academy in Glendale, California. People are scratching and sniffing and doing all kinds of flips and twists to get their kids into this school. I can assure you.
Two black parents are doing flips and twists to get their kids into Belmar Academy, and there's a Catholic priest calling their kids the N-word.
You better believe it. And you know something? I say it with love. There's not a hint of racism in it, but it's still letting those boys know that I rule the roost.
So what do you call the white boys?
I'm the boss. I'm the boss.
What do you call the white boys to that, Father?
Okay, sometimes I say you trash, you white cracker trash, or I'll call them an old face, something like that.
Really?
Okay. All right, listen, I'm glad you hung on, Kip. It was good talking to you. Thank you, sir. Our number, 877-876-7445, is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Now, don't start talking like, oh, boy, we really got problems now. What is it with you?
Well, Father, I think you're moving this in a direction I didn't think it would go in. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, baloney.
Phil Hendry.
You lousy, dirty...
Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And as you know, every night we're on live on Phil TV and HD. So if you want to watch our show as well as listen to it, watch how we perform the show, you can do that at philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass and watch our live streaming video of the show at philhendryshow.com. Also, our thousands and thousands of hours of archived audio going back over a decade. Lots of stuff. We have our webisodes. And, of course, you can visit our souvenir shop as well. All kinds of cool stuff there. We got our Bobby Dooley keychains, which I totally forgot to mention when Bobby was here, so maybe we'll have her back 877-876-PHIL. Father James McQuarters is on the line with us. We're going to get back to some phone calls. In the middle of all of this discussion, Father, about guns and this discussion about violence in Florida.
That is correct, yes.
You came out and said that while you are disciplining or otherwise getting kids to get off the playground or suspicious kids or...
Well, also, Phil, I'm dealing with my own students, and I want that to be made very clear now, because I know that you and some of your callers want to make a big issue out of Father McQuarters talking straight up to some of these young toughs. But when I want it to stick, I give it to them straight, and I give it to them dirty.
And but you're calling black kids the N-word.
And when I see them hanging around, and not just the ones that don't belong on the campus, but also some of our own, and the white kids too, I'll say the white trash that we've got in some of this trash can behavior, and the mothers that are on the methamphetamines and so on. And this is a Catholic a college preparatory school, Phil. We've got some wonderful children here. But we've also got, because of the fact that the diocese is generous with a great many of these families, we've got a great many families in our school that are suffering, you know, economically, and they can't afford it.
I understand.
And a lot of them, they've got the drug-addicted mothers, and they've got these drug addicts or alcoholic fathers. I've gone down to some of their homes, and I've said straight up to these fathers, I've said that you're a disgrace to your family, you dirty, filthy alcoholic. And that's what you are, and I say this to them. And I say to them, you're a dirty, white trash, alcoholic piece of garbage. And if I wasn't a Catholic priest, I'd kick your you-know-whats, and I use some very choice language, Phil. I'd kick them right up into your mouth, have you open your mouth, so I could count them. You know, I get into some real language with them.
Okay, so you're getting tough with the fathers, and what has any of them challenged you to a fight?
They wouldn't dare. I'm a priest, and I can't. I have the cross of Jesus Christ around my neck. They wouldn't dare lay a hand on me.
877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I don't know that you're going to be able to get away with... you know, you can talk about white this, white, but when you start in with the N-word. Anyway, let's talk to Kenny here. Kenny, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Father James McQuarters. Go ahead.
Phil, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Father, you claim to use the N-word.
That's correct.
Let me explain something to you. You cannot have a child of mine in your presence, you teaching them, and they come to me and say that you've used the N-word to them. That's unacceptable. And for you to say that no parent has come to you and not used any kind of force or anything to you, I believe you're lying. Because, sir, if a child of mine has come to me and you said that...
You better get your black in gear.
Did you use the N-word?
That cross around your neck, and not, God forgive me, but I'd whoop your ass.
You'd burn in hell. Then you'd burn in hell.
No.
Then you'd burn in hell.
No.
Are you happy to burn in hell?
You're the one
you're going to burn in hell for taking a violent action against God's own representative on this earth.
You're burning in hell for using the N-word and you
for using a word in love, and I use that word in love. I use that word to love that child.
Sir,
I use that word to love that child.
Why would you use that word to love that child?
That child knows only one thing. He knows the street, and he understands the language of the street. So I give it to him good and dirty when I want it to stick.
When you use a word like that, Father, knowing, and you know, you don't come from this country. And
oh, don't give me that Irish stuff.
I'm going to give it to you. You don't come from this country. You don't know. I was in Canada. I heard my cousins whip that word out. I said, boy, you can't do that in the States, because in our country, it's an exclusive word, and it is recognized as such by all races, white, black, whoever, and we are very ginger when that word is applied.
Well, I give it to them good and dirty.
Well, you give it. Did you hear what this man said? He'd kick your ass.
These children must be infants that you're using this word to, because no teenage... A young black adult is going to allow you to use that word toward them, not without whooping your ass. You're lying.
If they love me and they know what Belmar Academy can do for them, which is to turn their
and turn their little and you use the word, I would still love you, but I would put a good old-fashioned ghetto ass whooping on you, that's for sure.
And let me ask you something now. If I called a baby, if I looked down into a crib and I looked at a little black infant child and I said, why, you lousy N-word, you'd still kick my ass, wouldn't you?
Let me put it to you in ghetto terms.
What the hell?
This guy's a fraud. Hey, you know what? When you get through talking to
I love the fact that you called me a fraud. You called me a fraud, and I've got you laughing.
When you get off this show with Phil, I know you're going to go and smoke your pot of herb. So let me tell you something. If you did, if it was my infant and you said it, let me give you in ghetto terms. I'd kick your white ass, okay?
So in other words, you'd kick my ass, even though the little baby didn't even understand a word I said. You'd beat my ass.
I would do what
I'd say with love, and I'd say this with love in my heart. I'd say, Kenny, you lousy N-word, if you...
Oh, come on.
You know, Phil, I've been in the worst neighborhoods in this country. And
that doesn't mean anything to me. I mean, there's a lot of people that go a lot of places, Father. I agree with Kenny. I don't think you really say the N-word.
Oh, well, now, get a load of Sherlock Holmes. And what are you, Kenny? Are you Mr. Watson? He just hung up, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
So you're calling me a liar, is that it?
I don't think you use that word. You can apply it any way you want.
You're saying I'm full of it, aren't you? You're saying old Father James McQuarters is trying to yank it. Trying to yank it free, isn't he? Is that what you're saying? I'm trying to yank it free? I'm trying to get my hand up there and pull it free? And
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm just saying that I agree with that gentleman. If you use the N-word around black parents in this country, regardless of the level of education that they are getting, there would be hell to pay. There'd be an awful lot of grief. Here is Chris on the Phil Hendry Show. Chris, go ahead, please.
Hey, Phil, thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir.
What I wanted to ask Father James is you know, let's assume that you take all the guns and you throw them into the ocean.
Thank you for bringing it back on point, by the way.
Well, you're the guy that took it off point with the N-word.
Okay, let's assume that, you know, the government passed laws, you know, to get rid of all the guns. Now what? Now what are you going to do? Your country, where you come from, guns are, you know, the general population, they're not allowed to have guns. You know, in the...
You're talking about Ireland.
Yeah. And, you know,
what do you mean we're not allowed to have guns? Of course we're allowed to have guns, but we're limited to the kind of gun we're limited to, long guns. You have to understand something first off, Chris. This is a country of hunters. Ireland has a great many men and women that hunt. And so you can't realistically say you can't have guns, but you're allowed a certain kind of gun.
You're not allowed handguns?
You're not allowed to have a handgun. You can have your long gun. You can have your shotguns. Is that not good enough?
But you can't have assault rifles and pistols and stuff like
that. Assault rifles? For goodness sakes. Do you know that we had the IRA in the north of our country for so many years? Do you know what an assault rifle means if you bring up an assault rifle in Ireland? You know what that means? That means real death, my boy. That means lots of people killed. And we had a full revolution in the north of the country, and all it did was kill people. Just kill people. That's all it did.
Well,
I almost said the N-word. I was going to talk about the British soldiers. And
oh, that's real nice.
Back before, I mean, I believe that if you took away all the guns, that mankind would revert back to using more primitive weapons.
I want to use the N-word so bad.
Like I agree with you, Chris. Things. So if we don't have guns, in other words, what you were saying was bows and arrows, knives.
What are you guys talking about?
What do you mean, what are we talking about? The human race is violent. If you take away guns, you're going to have stabbings. You know, Canada's got a very strict gun control. That didn't keep that guy from severing that dude's head.
What? Now, what are you smoking now?
What am I smoking? There was a guy in Canada that assaulted a man on a bus and decapitated him.
That's bullcrap.
No, it's not bullcrap. I'll find the story.
You know, Phil, you find the most gruesome crimes that you can think of, and you bring them up at a time like this, and get everybody's mind blown. You blew everyone's mind out there with that bull crap.
And it's not... You know what, Father?
What do you want, Chris?
This is Father McCord. What do you want?
I'm trying to, bring some rationality back to the conversation.
You're trying to freshen it up. I understand. You want to get some fresh perspective on this, and I understand that.
Right. The first recorded murder, Cain killed his brother. He used a stone in the field, And the thing is that if you want to kill somebody bad enough,
You're using the Bible in a way that I don't think is fair, because you're using the Bible in a way that is making my argument.
He's using the Bible in a literal way that's making your argument sound like garbage. In other words, he's using the Bible in a good way.
Mr. Henry, if you want, I'll just go ahead and mail my collar to you, and you can be the priest for a night.
Well, I think what Chris did was he used the Bible in a perfectly good way. He said the first murder that we know of in the Bible was a guy killing his brother with a rock, not a gun. All right. With that having been said, Chris, good job. Thank you very much, sir, for your call tonight. 877-876-PHIL.
Hold on for a minute. You're not going to actually...
Yeah, I'm actually going to. 877-876-7445. We'll be right back. It is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back. You're the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're online at philhendryshow.com. We have our news and information hour coming up next. And, we're getting ready to draw another winner of a free backstage pass. It'll take place at the end of this month, a free backstage pass for April. And if you want to register for a free backstage pass, all you have to do is go to Phil Hendry Show. Go to our Twitter account, which is twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. And hashtag Phil Hendry, or go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, PHANS, and like our Facebook page. And then we draw from all of you guys who have recently hashtagged or liked. Father James McCorder's on the line with us. Always a interesting time with you, Father, as you talk about your homilies and the things that you believe and the things that you talk about. And you've gotten quite a few people angry, you know.
Well, Phil, I don't want to make anyone angry, but when you're dealing with some of these rough kids, and
I understand if you're dealing with some of these rough kids, but the word is an explosive word. It's a word of, people don't like the word.
Well, I'll tell you something. I don't like the word either, but I always say to my black students, listen, you don't like Father McCarty's calling you the N-word, then you're more than welcome to go ahead. You can call me anything you want. And I've had these kids, they say to me, so Father McCarty, you're saying that we could call you anything? I said, yes. And I've had them call me a shanty, Mick, you name it, some horse this and child molesting that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you said you didn't want to bring that up.
I'm bringing it up as an example of what they get to call me. They'll call me an old whore.
You're telling me on a college prep campus.
I'm saying on a college with some of the students, that some of my black students that I've called the N-word, I'll say, now you go ahead and call me some old flouncing, I'll say it, some old queer.
I don't believe it.
What is it with you and these... I don't believe it. Why don't you believe it?
Because it doesn't sound like anything a sane educator would do.
I happen to pride myself on being an educator who thinks outside the box. And when it comes to birth control, and when it comes to abortion, Rick Santorum ought to think outside the box, too. Get it?
You know, Father, your jokes are not funny.
They're not funny, huh?
No, they're not funny.
What a pain in the...
What's that?
Nothing.
What did you say?
I didn't say anything.
877-876-7445. Let me go over here to another gentleman. This is Tori. Hi, Tori. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Father James McCorders.
Yeah, I was listening to the show, and
you know, I don't sound like the Antichrist, but you're preaching the same message of negativity that the guy down there in Florida has in his heart, you know, far as, you know, you, especially with the black kids, when you reference the black kids and calling them N-words, you got to understand, Father, and, you know, I hope you are a father, you know, and not some guy that claims to be a priest. You could be a fool tomorrow.
I'm a Catholic priest. I'm a Catholic priest educated at seminary in Meath County in Ireland. And if you don't believe me, you can go into the Diocese of Los Angeles and look that up.
But, okay, you're saying these to young kids. Your mind is fully generated, I'm pretty sure. And I'm a 29-year-old black male, and some of the things you're saying are just mind-boggling. You're a grown man. You're a priest. You have been through. So your mind is developed to handle certain situations out here in this world we call America, in this nation we call America. Those young kids that you're claiming you're disrespecting, white and black, their minds are still growing and developing. They don't understand the ramification of using those words. So when your white kids hear you saying that, they'll try to go out and emulate you on the playground and say, well, the priest said it, it should be okay for me to say it, which is false. Those guys are going to get in so much trouble for using that word. And that word has been, you can call any black person any name other than that word. That word immediately sparks controversy. It can bring up anger. That word is just so should be eradicated with the black race and every other race. No one should use
that
word.
What about the times when I say it in friendship? I'll say to a couple of kids, hey, you two N-words, let's go get some hamburgers.
You can't even say that.
There's
no other way to say that, priest. You have to say, hey, you guys, you kids, there are other words to use.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys want to, you do not have to use the N-word. The N-word is trying to get, we have powerful black leaders that are trying to take the N-word out of the black communities, not some white priest, you know, to tell these kids, hey,
I'm not white. No, hold on. I'm not white. I'm Irish.
Whatever race you are, Father. You know,
I'm not white. You are white. Yes, he's white.
No, I'm not white.
You? What do you mean you're not white?
I'm Irish.
Oh, get out of here. You're white.
I'm not a white American.
Well, whatever you are, priest, whatever you are, you shouldn't be preaching that message of you can use, like Phil saying, the freedom of speech is not free. There's a price to pay after you run your mouth or after you say some things that you had no business saying in the first place. There's a repercussions in place.
What about the time I called up the parents of this one boy, both of them black parents, and I said, I need you two N-words down here for a teacher conference. And I laughed.
Hey, baby.
Father,
you said that, Father. I hope every black person that is enrolled with your academy, hopefully they can find some other means of being educated than have to go through your Catholic, through your preparatory school for college. Because once they get to the college level, if they take that same attitude of we can say what we want to say because the priest says it's okay, they're going to be in a world.
I'm trying to relate.
They're just not going to make it. And I'm an educated man. I take pride in my education. I'm not even upset if you do this, priest, because that is your own, that'll be your own downfall. I don't even use that word. I'm a black 29-year-old male. And I told the kids,
I said, call me anything you want. They've called me some old flouncy queer.
Boy, that is disrespect.
Priest, you being a grown man, your brain is fully developed, you can take criticism, you can take constructive criticism, and you know that is only that. Those kids, their mind are still developing, they are still learning, and if they take that attitude that they can go about the world and say anything and everything to certain race,
I apologize. But I said to the lady when I said, hey, Aunt Jemima, and I was saying it as a joke. And
well, who was this?
One of the mothers.
That is the most disrespectful.
Yeah. We got to take a break. I appreciate the call, Tori, very much. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. News and Information Hour coming up next.
Oh, why didn't you cry me a river? Listen to you. We're going to make a Phil Hendry Show. Why didn't you cry me a river? Hey, Phil.
What?
Big city, set me loose and set me free.
Phil Hendry.
I'm just...